We're moving deeper into the forest.
Even stars are scarce.
The sounds are more amorphous now. They're untraceable, ephemeral. And we're almost lost. We're turning around and around, seeing a shape, and then it disappears. And finally, it holds its form long enough for us to make out that it's a ghost. And we're moving now into the realm of spiritual death. Old rules don't apply. Everything you thought you knew has no power here. Though maybe the ghost is terrifying, gaunt and blank-eyed, or perhaps it looks just like us, like in Alejandro's and Anembar's The Others. I don't know if you've seen that film. So perhaps they're more comical, like in Ghostbusters or in Nearly Headless Nick from Harry Potter. But actually, I'm thinking mostly of the Bogart from Harry Potter. So this is a creature that's insubstantial. It keeps shifting. When we think we've got a lock on it, it changes. And meeting ghosts means bringing in a Vipassana approach to seeing through the permanence, substance, and satisfactoriness of things. We see that we can't identify with these ghosts. They're not me, not mine, not I. And this approach works particularly well on retreat, especially on solitary, when we can reflect on the process of our experience rather than just the content. Some of you have been on solitary, where you'll go away to a place on your own, rather than being on a retreat with others. You're on a retreat on your own. There isn't a lot to do. There isn't a lot to do but bear witness to the changing nature and actually the cyclical nature of our minds. We can recognize a habit that comes round again and again and again. And we've reasoned with it, and we've reflected on it, and maybe we've made efforts to change it. But at some point, actually, what we need to do is see it as empty, ephemeral, not real. So another related way to meet the ghost, especially if it's an emotionally laden one, is to reflect that others feel this too. So we're not so much trying to see through it as insubstantial or unsatisfactory or impermanent. But with this approach, it's a realization that seeing that things are empty doesn't lead to this vacuous state of dispassion. But also, we don't own our grief. You know, this isn't just happening to us. We are not the only one who's felt this this sadness, this terror, this hopelessness. We can be filled with these emotions, but we can also know that these things are illusions. Marpa, the translator, was a Tibetan teacher who lived in the 11th century. And he was so called because he translated many Dharma teachings from Sanskrit and brought them to Tibet. His beloved son was meant to carry on his lineage. But when he died accidentally at a young age, Marpa's disciples were shocked to find their master wailing, distressed and unconsolable. And they were shocked. "His master," they exclaimed, "why are you crying? Have you not taught us that everything is an illusion?" Marpa replied, "Yes, everything is an illusion, but losing a child is the most painful illusion of all." Even though Marpa was a realized teacher who had penetrated the illusory nature of this world, he still experienced anguish and sorrow. When we meet our ghosts, which may manifest as grief or sorrow, or as rage or as lust, we do not dismiss them. We do not deny that they have an effect, but we do not identify with them. We don't try to own them, to pretend we're the only ones who have ever felt this way. We do not become them. We feel them intensely, and we give them space to change. They can't help but not. The Zen poet Ryokan said, "I'll tell you a secret. Everything is impermanent."